mention that part now.
Can you tell I read early part of it?
I did. I wanted to share it with him because I wanted to make sure I was on the right track. I didn't want to do something that wasn't of God, because anybody who knows me, I know several of you in this room, knows that this is not me. I am not the person to stand up in front of people. I'm not the person to minister. You know, I'm always more comfortable in the back, helping, you know, whatever needs to be done. In fact, a story had come to me just this past week that a very good friend of mine had said during our wedding that it was the shortest wedding he had ever been to. And I wish I could tell him, although he's already gone home to be with the Lord, but I'm sure he's looking down and just smiling at that memory. But I think he told me it was just about 13 minutes was the ceremony. That's how much I don't like to be up here, but with that being said, I do just want to open in prayer, because this is an incredible, incredible opportunity that I've been so excited about. I didn't know, I mean, my excitement is palpable. I haven't been able to sleep. So it's a little nerve-wracking, but I do believe, I shared with my dad, with Pastor Tim, that it's been a long time coming. So I do believe there is a message in here for everyone, whatever level you're at. But if you'll just join me, Father, I thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day outside today, and I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this word that you've given me. Father, let it minister to those that are in this room, to those that may listen to it later. Father, just let it touch their spirits in whatever way they need to be touched. Whatever you need to minister to them to get this into their spirit, Father, just let it be. Let it be your will. Let it be your way, your gentle guidance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So for those who don't know me very well, I'll share a little bit about myself, and I have wrote it all out like a manuscript. So if I read, please forgive me. But I have memories of church going back years in every place that we've lived, going back to being a young girl, ministering with my grandparents in the nursing homes, with my parents in the nursing homes here. So I've been involved for a long time. And sometimes I think we take that for granted, is just being involved. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. It's overwhelming. It's tiring. It's taxing, not only on you personally, but it can be taxing on you emotionally, on your family. But God's brought me through. So I've worked probably in some type of ministry since I was about 13 years old. I've worked in children's and youth ministry off and on. I've been a part of the choir, sang with Linda and Don. I've sang on the praise team. I've helped out behind the scenes more. And as kids, we even helped my mom clean the church that we were attending at the time. Almost every week, we were cleaning the building and helping her. And while helping out and being involved is good, it's a good thing. The most important thing for me while I was going through and looking at this was remembering my milestones. Accepting Christ at the age of 13. It was spring of my 8th grade year. While in high school, I made the decision to be water baptized, and then I was filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues at a youth conference. I faced my share of struggles over time. I've handled some graciously, others not so much. But before I start sharing what I believe the Spirit has given me, I have to say I've learned a lot through this process. I learned I can't compare myself to anyone else who stands here. The Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us individually, and he works through us individually and differently. I don't spend hours studying the Bible or commentaries. I haven't even read through the Bible in its entirety at all. I hope to someday. That's on my bucket list, so to speak. But I've learned that no matter how much or how little you study or how much or how little you pray, or how often you worship, God is looking for a willing vessel. And that's not to say that we shouldn't spend time studying or reading or praying or worshiping. That is important. And I do not take that for granted, that God, even in the little bit that I am studying, the little bit that I am worshiping, that he still wants to use me. It's a lesson. But I believe God knows our hearts and our desires. And if we work towards being sensitive to the Spirit, the time we spend solely focused on him will increase. I know it has for me. I really struggled in the beginning of putting this together, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But my mind couldn't wrap around the fact that God had given me a word that was to be shared. As I prayed and meditated on it, I shared it with Pastor Tim, actually probably going on a month ago now. I had to work on getting out of my head and listening to the Spirit and trusting the Spirit that this was from him. And as it came together, that's where the excitement came in. As I got out of my head, the excitement started to build about being able to serve in a different capacity. And I don't know, this could be a one-time thing, there could be more. But whatever the case may be, I'm excited to be here this morning. And I know that's a God thing, because this isn't me. So, with that being said, last week Wayne had shared, and he had touched on a few things that really spoke to me, and a part of that goes along with what I've been able to pick out. So all the times that you see on there that the message has been listened to, it's probably me. I think I've listened to it in its entirety probably twice this week, picking out and rewinding different sections. So Wayne had mentioned having disappointment this side of heaven. But God said we have an abundant life. That doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. We're going to have ups and downs. He then asked if we knew if abundant means roller coaster. And I put a little smiley face next to that, because that's true. How many of you have experienced those roller coasters? How many of you are on one right now? I think we all are, in some capacity. It doesn't feel like we're always living an abundant life, does it? It feels like we're coming up short. I spoke a little bit more with Pastor Tim earlier this week about it. He had called me at work, and that last Sunday was when the excitement started really building. So I shared that with him. And he said that there were a few things that Wayne had said that really kind of perked my spirit, and you know, I really felt like this would be a good follow-up. So he told me just to kind of feel it out, pray about it this week, see how you feel. It was only Tuesday when we talked, so I texted him Friday morning. I worked on it a little bit Thursday, a little bit more, and I texted him Friday morning and said, if the offer is still there, I want to take advantage of it. So this is my question. What is your default? This phrase has been a part of my thinking for about the past 15, 16 months, with God continually bringing it to the forefront. While we were on our way to church last summer, my head was swimming, literally, with a myriad of thoughts, questions, scenarios related to our girls and what we were going to do regarding school in the fall. Suddenly, deep in my spirit, I can remember where we were physically. I felt God saying, what is your default? I knew immediately I had to stop this inner battle and hand the whole thing over to him. By the end of service, I knew it wasn't just that decision, but all of me. I needed to get back to that place of worship. I needed to get back to being sensitive to the Spirit. While reflecting on this phrase, we know the word default has multiple meanings. Simply put, default in this sense is your go-to response to a situation, to a thought, to something that comes up, to a decision. How do you typically respond when faced with tough decisions, tough situations, or even minor inconveniences? Better yet, how do you respond when something positive happens? What's your response? So while I continue to share, I want you to ask yourself, what is your default? What are those things that you go to when faced with a situation? When faced with a difficult situation or decision, do you automatically stop, pray, and ask for guidance? Or like me, does your mind or your flesh sometimes take over playing possible and impossible scenarios? Do you have a stream of questions, some that may have answers and some that probably don't, and you'll never know the answer to those? Do you get to the point where you just don't know what to do? You feel helpless? I realize for some of you this may not be a new revelation. I think a lot of us have been walking this walk for a while. But I think there is still something in it for all of us. We've all had times where our default is to stop and pray and do what we're supposed to and seek the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit do his thing to calm our mind and take control of the situation. And that's good. That's a growth. That's a good thing. But I think it goes deeper than that. So after receiving this phrase last year, I jotted down a few thoughts. I would set it aside and come back to it on occasion. Since about 2019, I've had this recurring dream, seeing myself up here sharing. So this has been going on for a while. At first, I had this dream every once in a while. During that time, I was focusing on taking care of my mental health, being challenged to take care of my spiritual health, and believe it or not, I don't know how some of you feel about therapy outside in the world, but that was exactly what I needed. My therapist was able to challenge my faith, and it was amazing. I work in a job where we work with counseling agencies. We work with individual counselors. And my thought was always, well, that's not for me. That's, you know, I'm a Christian. I can handle it. I can do this on my own. And it wasn't until I got a referral for a counselor. And I prayed about it. I did, because it's not the route I wanted to go. But I knew I needed to do something, even if it was in the worldly setting. And I just prayed, you know, God, set me up with the right counselor. It took me about a month from the date I scheduled my first appointment until I was actually able to sit down with him. And I worked with him for probably about a year and a half, just shy of a year and a half. He got me through some things dealing with loss. He got me through a pregnancy. He got me through my feelings with that, through some other family situations. But the most important thing I took away was he challenged my faith. I didn't think a counselor would do that. That surprised me. So, also during that time, we became a family of six. And let's be honest, we're exhausted. We still are. But as we've adjusted to our new family life, 2 years in now, this dream had become more frequent. And I just kept feeling like I needed to do something about it. It was on a multiple times a week basis that I was having this dream. And for a little while, I kept putting it off, bargaining with God, if you will. If this is something that should be shared, then surely, you know, Pastor Tim or Wayne or Linda even, or, you know, someone would come and talk to me and, you know, kind of show me that I'm going on the right path. Well, that didn't happen. But during this time, I also questioned, why me? Why, you know, I haven't been studying. I haven't, you know, I've been participating in the children's ministry, praising and worshiping while I can. But why me? Why would you choose me after everything I've been through? All the times I've hurt you during that time, why would you choose me, God? I definitely feel very unqualified for this, but God is the qualifier. He will qualify you for whatever he calls you to do. And this inner battle, it lasted about a month. And obviously, I didn't win. So I mustered up the strength and the courage, and I talked to Pastor Tim about some things, like he said, that I've been feeling and sensing. And for me personally, you know, I've mentioned it, but I'm definitely outside of my element on this. This is very new to me. And I'm way outside my comfort zone. But that's part of how I know this is a God thing. Again, that's how I know this is God, because it is taking me way outside my comfort zone. And first, I know, you know, we mentioned it, I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of girl. I don't want to be up front on display, so to speak. Second, almost all of you know that Pastor Tim and Dean, they're not only my pastors, but they're my parents. So they kind of have a vested interest in this besides just being my pastors. They get to see me on a whole different level, which is odd sometimes, I'll be honest. But I don't want to mess this up, which is why I wanted him to see it first. So that's why I sent it to him first, at least the core of it. But most important, I wanted to be obedient. I knew this needed to be shared, and I wanted to get Pastor Tim's blessing, and I did, thank God. And whatever you take away from today, I pray it just ministers to you. Whatever you're facing, just remember God's for you. He's not against you. He's going to bring you through it. He's going to work it out for your good. No, it's not going to be exactly the way we thought it's going to happen. It's not going to be what we think should happen, but it's going to work out to his glory, not ours. So looking back over the past 3 years, I know the areas where I struggled, mentally, physically, and spiritually. But now I've also been able to see those as the times God has guided me through. Not immediately, but by the grace of God, I have made it through. And I think that's why the phrase, "What's your default?" has been replaying in my mind and spirit. I used to say I would never go back and change a decision I made or something that happened in my life. I saw that as a sign of regretting my life experiences. But looking back over the things I've done or said and choices I made in the past, there are some things I wish I could have handled differently. There are some things I wish I would have done better. But I don't regret going through what could have been a major health scare, a miscarriage, an anxiety attack that manifested physically and scared me, and even a time of mild depression. Each of those incidents is hard enough on its own, but almost debilitating when experienced all at once or within a short time span. What if my default had been to turn all of that hurt, pain, and anger over to God early on? I would have still gone through those difficult times, but maybe my perspective would have been different. In an odd way, I'm glad this is now a part of who I am. Through the heartache and pain, I've learned more about myself, and my walk with God is continuing to be strengthened. I remember early on in my path to recovery and healing in 2018, we were still coming to church. And I'll be honest, I didn't want to be here. Like most of you, if you've ever experienced it, when you're going through a difficult situation, church is usually the last place you want to be. I was so angry. Earlier in the year, we had made a type of New Year's resolution, so to speak. We had decided that we were going to make church a priority, and we had been attending fairly regularly. I was angry about what had happened to me, what had been taken from us. Why would I want to be in church? Why would I want to be here? When it came right down to it, I was ashamed because I knew none of it was God's fault. He was just getting the brunt of my feelings. But I also knew deep in my spirit, this is where I needed to be. I needed to be here. I needed to be present, even if I didn't want to be. Even if my attitude wasn't the best, I still needed to be here. And it actually became a great teaching moment for my girls because they're like, you know, hey, we get to stay home because mom doesn't want to go to church. But I was able to share with them, there are going to be times that you face that you may not want to do what you need to, but you need to do it anyway. So for about 5 months, I think I spent more time in tears during service than not, which was not easy for me in the beginning. The major turning point for me was in December of 2018. I was at church by myself. Dan had taken the girls down to his parents' house for their annual cookie day, and I was going to meet up with them later. It was probably the first time in a long time, and I mean probably years, that I was able to set life aside and be fully present. My oldest is 12, so probably at least that long. The song was "Great Are You, Lord," and that was my release. And I knew it. That was the first time in a long time I was fully immersed in a worship experience. That was one of the few times I tangibly knew, I could smell, the Holy Spirit was in the room. It was such an impression, I vividly remember the moment even now. Sometimes I even catch that whiff. Through all of this, I'm thankful for a God who loves us so much. He gave his only son for us. I'm thankful for a God of second and third and fourth and multiple chances. But that's a message in and of itself. God loves us so much. He wants the very best for us. He's planned our entire journey. From the moment we were first conceived, until we were born, until we die. He's planned our entire journey. Our steps are ordered. Psalm 37, verse 23 through 24 in the Amplified says, "The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand and sustains him." Verse 24 tells me it doesn't mean life is going to be perfect. We're human. We're going to falter. We're going to fall. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have hard times in our life. We're going to stumble. But the end of verse 24 says, "The Lord will uphold. He will support or sustain us." So how are we going to respond to life? So again, what is your default? While praying and meditating about this, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying we're doing good, but we could be doing so much better. What would happen if our first instinct when faced with trouble was to pray? What would happen if our first instinct when we experienced something positive was to thank God for his provision or his protection? Maybe you are able to pray immediately when something comes up. But what are those things you've secretly been holding on to? And this really came probably about a month after I received that phrase, "What is your default?" We had made a decision about school. We knew what the girls were doing. But Aaron and I were in the car, and a motorcycle hit us. And my first instinct was, thank God nobody was injured. The guy was pinned against the car just the way the motorcycle landed, but he walked away. He was fine. My second instinct was, thank God that there were witnesses on scene who kept him there because he wanted to drive away. And that could have been, it turned into an inconvenience, but it was such a teaching moment for me because it made that phrase personal. It made that situation, I was able to check my default. And what, I wasn't angry. I was shocked, but I wasn't angry at him for it happening. I was able to stop and say, thank God neither one of us were injured. Thank God the other driver walked away. And there's been multiple instances since then where, you know, I can see my default wasn't all that great. It's a learning process. But there are also other times where, yeah, life is a mild inconvenience sometimes, but it's okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it through. I was really struggling putting this together initially because I'm like, gosh, there's no verses. There's no, you know, got to get into the Bible somehow. So the phrase that really kept coming to me was seek first. Seek first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." On the surface, or in that context, it's referring to the 8 verses before it, worrying about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. But God takes care of those basic needs. I mean, he tells us, look at the lily of the fields. Look at the wheat in the field. They don't strive to live. They don't worry about what's going to happen next. God knows, or, you know, they know God's going to take care of them. But the phrase seek first tells me that we should seek him first in all things, not just these worldly things of worrying about where our next meal is going to come from or what we're going to wear, or what we're going to do. And one thought that came to me last night was be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 in the Message Bible says, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life." And then I wanted to end, you know, I'm bouncing around just a little bit in the Bible, but I wanted to end with Matthew 6:34. And again, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first. But Matthew 6:34 in the Message says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So, it's been a learning experience, and it's a good one. It's been teachable moments. It's been stretching moments. It's been good. And thank God I have a job where it's quiet right now, and I was able to work on this. But that's really all that God laid on my heart, and it was more of like a testimony. Not only that phrase, what is your default, but take that with you today. If that's, you know, if God's speaking to you, I know I don't want you to take what I have to say. I want you to let the Spirit work in you and let him pick out for you what you need to identify with this morning. And just work towards being more sensitive. I think that's what we all need in this day and age, is just to be more sensitive to the Spirit. And I know last week Wayne had mentioned, you know, again, God's going to use us all differently. He's going to use Linda to talk to someone that I may not be able to reach. And that's where that sensitivity comes in. And it's, I'll admit, it's hard for me. It's, I'm sure any one of us could admit that it's hard to be sensitive and go talk to that person that God's leading you to. But I think in the time we're living in, I think it's going to be most important that we're sensitive, that we're reaching those that maybe somebody else can't, or someone else who may not come into contact with anyone but you. And that's where you get to sow that seed. So, again, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for listening. I invited my in-laws to come up because my mother-in-law was one of the turning points during my rough patch. She told me it was okay to be angry, and that was what helped. I didn't want to be because it didn't feel right. I wasn't used to that, but it was okay. God knew what I was feeling, and he used me anyway through all that pain and that hurt. And I appreciate that. I thank God for that. So I just want to end in prayer, and then Pastor Tim, you can take it from here if you'd like. But if you'll join me, Father, I just thank you again for this opportunity. I thank you for stretching me and using me, and for continuing to stretch me and use me, and not just me, but those in this room. Father God, as you touch our lives and you work through us. May the words that were spoken this morning speak to those who need them. And may we be even more sensitive to your Spirit as we go about our day today, as we go about our weeks, whether it be at work or just in general life, out in the stores or with our families. Father God, just find ways and reveal those ways to us that you can use us. Let us be more sensitive to that. In Jesus' name, amen.